For those of you joining us just now, I'm Ethan Elkind sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Calls One Planet series. We are podcasting our show, and you can find out more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up next. And if you have a show idea for us, you can drop us a line at yourcall@kalw.org. or call us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or leave your comments on our website at yourcallradio.org. Well, now I want to welcome Jamie Henn to the show. Jamie is the founder and director of Fossil Free Media, a nonprofit communications lab that supports the movement to break free from fossil fuels. And last month, Fossil Free Media's Stop the Oil Profiteering campaign launched a series of billboards in Austin, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, and Fresno here in California, calling out the fossil fuel industry for its role in fueling the climate change induced extreme heat that has plagued this country and claimed more than 100 lives just this summer alone. The billboard features a weather report with record high temperatures, and it reads with the caption, "Brought to you by Big Oil." So good to have you with us, Jamie, to talk about this campaign. Welcome to the show.
Good to be with you.
So we've been experiencing a summer of extreme weather conditions. We've had fires in Canada, Maui, and Greece. We have floods and hurricanes, tropical storms here in California, three-digit temperatures consistently in the U.S., other parts of the world. We're really experiencing what scientists and experts have been warning us about for decades. The U.N. is calling it a climate breakdown, given all the calamities around the world. And unfortunately, this promises to be one of the better years we're going to be experiencing on average for years to come, based on what scientists are telling us. So given everything that we're facing, Jamie, you've said that the most important thing we can do right now is to try and connect the dots between the extreme weather that people are seeing and experiencing and the fossil fuel industry that's contributing to it. So do you think the media is doing an effective job of connecting these dots?
Well, I think there's a lot more work that could be done. I think, like a lot of people this summer here in the United States and really around the world, you know, I've been watching these climate disasters unfold on my screen and on my phone and in person here where I live in the Northeast, where we had terrible flooding earlier this summer, and sort of asking the question, when does this translate into the type of political and cultural pressure we're going to need to really spark a response at scale? And I think one of the barriers for that is that we still tell this story about climate change as if it's a tragedy, when in reality, it's a crime. There are known actors who knew about the damage that their product was causing, in this case, the fossil fuel industry, and instead of warning the public, proceeded to launch a massive disinformation campaign like the world has never seen and spend billions of dollars lobbying against action. And so one of the most important things that we as advocates and activists can be doing right now, and something that we really need the media to be doing better, is really connecting the dots, not only between extreme weather and climate change, which to its credit, I think the media on a whole has gotten much better at, but actually to the corporate actors who are fueling this crisis, the fossil fuel companies who are still raking in massive profits by driving climate change around the world. And so connecting those dots is something that we've been hard at work at, trying to find creative ways to do at Fossil Free Media. And I think more and more people across the kind of climate space are thinking about how do we help people understand what's really taking place.
Well, in terms of connecting the dots, talk about the billboard campaign and what compelled you to do that, and a little bit about the logistics around them. I know the billboards went up in the last week of August. Is that right?
That's right. So, well, we thought, you know, the fossil fuel industry wasn't getting enough credit for all the work that it had done this summer to turn up the thermostat. So we wanted to help them out a little bit. So, we've been looking for all sorts of ways to really connect the dots. And a lot of that takes place online. People make videos and we work with influencers or we run digital ads to try and convince people. But we thought it was important to actually get some of this information out into the real world, into the physical space, onto terra firma that was literally heating up. And I think it hits differently. I think a billboard, if you're driving in your car and the thermostat says 110 degrees, and then you see a billboard saying that this summer's heat was brought to you by Big Oil, that just hits in a different way than sitting in an air-conditioned office scrolling by a Facebook ad that says the same message. So this was a kind of foray into doing this for us to try and think of different creative ways to really get to the places that have been hardest hit. by this summer's brutal heat waves and really begin to connect the dots. We got an incredible response from people, people writing in who'd seen the billboards, people who heard about the billboards, people who worked even for billboard companies and wanted to donate even more billboards to the cause. So I think this is just hopefully the beginning of how we can take collective and creative action to really try and show what's happening out there and help people connect the dots on what's really causing this crisis.
And I'm curious about your sort of broader theory of change here. I mean, the sort of initial coverage around the media was sort of sound the alarm. If you think about Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's documentary, just to let people know that the problem was here. Now I think there is widespread understanding that the problem is here, even if there's not necessarily clarity or consensus around the cause of it among the public. Of course, scientifically, there's overwhelming consensus of what's causing it. And then, you know, there's also some solutions type journalism. I'm curious how having a villain here blaming and attributing fossil fuel companies as the cause of this, what you think that would prompt people to do that maybe other messaging approaches may not be as effective at prompting?
I think that's a great question. You know, I've been in the climate space for a while here, since the early 2000s when I was a student activist and first got involved, and then was one of the co-founders of 350.org, and over there helped run a lot of different campaigns, from big marches to fossil fuel divestment to fighting pipelines like Keystone XL and others, and pushing for more aggressive action in California to go after drilling. I think all along the way, we've seen that having a villain to this story is important. It's important to actually empower people to feel like they can take action. You know, the very idea of having a personal carbon footprint, which often is the barrier that people have, saying, well, what can I do about global warming? Because I drive a car, or, you know, I have my own carbon footprint, so how could I point the finger at anybody else? It's worth remembering that that idea was cooked up by BP, as in British Petroleum, and a marketing firm, WPP, a number of years ago, for that exact purpose of trying to sort of switch the blame over from these major fossil fuel actors who are producing the bulk of emissions and lobbying against solutions back to the individual. It's the same story with recycling and a lot of different other environmental problems, where industry repeatedly tries to make this an individual actor scenario to block the idea that there needs to be a collective or government response. And so I think telling a story about big oil being to blame for climate, which is a scientific reality, isn't just to make us feel good or to feel like there's a victim, a villain out there. It's really to empower us to think about the type of solutions that we need. It also, in this moment, is especially critical because we're beginning to see real progress on climate. We're beginning to see big amounts of money flowing thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments. And it's really critical that that money goes to the right sorts of solutions, that it helps not only build more renewables, but it empowers communities. It helps address many of the inequities that this crisis has created. We can't let that money get sucked up by fossil fuel companies who are going to put it into things that will only perpetuate our dependence on oil and gas. And so really understanding the powers at play here and how this story has progressed, I think will be especially important for where it goes in the future.
And if you're just joining us, this is Ethan Nelkind. I'm guest hosting for Rose Aguilar, Your Call's One Planet series, and we're joined by Jamie Henn, the founder and director of Fossil Free Media. We're talking about the billboards that Fossil Free Media has been running in some major markets that attributes record high temperatures to big oil and blames big oil for that. And Jamie, wanted to ask you, you're doing your part here to try to connect those dots as we've been talking about, but what else do you think needs to be done to educate the public? I mean, you're one organization. What would you recommend that other people in the communications media world do to try to highlight the cause here, the scientific cause of climate change and what we're seeing on the ground and in our daily lives?
Sure. Well, I'd say a few things. First, you know, another campaign that we run here at Fossil Free Media is called Clean Creatives. And it has been pressuring PR and ad agencies to stop working for big oil and stop greenwashing and spreading disinformation on behalf of the industry, and really get in the game of climate solutions. There's so many creative people, especially in California, who work in advertising or related industries. We need that creativity spreading the truth and correct information about climate, not sort of spinning ExxonMobil's latest algae fuel that's never going to come true. So that effort, Clean Creatives has signed up over 700 different PR and advertising agencies to take a pledge saying they won't work with fossil fuel companies. And we have a similar pledge for online creators as well, since we know that a lot of this battle is taking place across social media platforms. So at a kind of larger scale of communications, that's one place where we really need people who work in that field, including Hollywood and other creative arts, to get into the game of helping tell this story and helping sort of wake people up to the potential of what we can do. Second, I'd say that as individuals, we have a lot of work to be done as well. You know, it's often cited that one of the most effective ways to convince people to take action on climate is just when they hear about it more. And so actually, it sounds silly, but talking to your neighbors, talking to your family, raising this issue in your workplace, that all really makes a difference. Even if it's as casual as talking about the weather, and then helping people draw the connections to what's causing that. I also just think that people should feel empowered to do more creative things out there. Not that I can endorse slapping stickers on gas pumps, but we know that people were putting, you know, Biden stickers on various gas pumps when prices were going up, even though the president does very little to control gas prices. You know, doing some creative actions that really point the finger back at the industry is something that we could see more of. And we've worked a lot with artists and people who paint murals or do wheat pasting and get out in the street and try and raise awareness. And there's an incredible crew in the Bay Area that does a lot of that work as well. And then finally, we really need our political leaders to draw this connection. We've heard more politicians talking about climate change, of course. You know, our own president has gotten more comfortable with that over the years, but we still don't see the type of political leadership we need really pointing the finger at big oil. I think one of the most exciting things happening out there in the climate space right now is this growing wave of lawsuits that are looking to hold the industry accountable, either for spreading disinformation and lying to consumers or for actual climate damages, for the billions of dollars that cities and states are now paying to deal with the impacts of climate change. A lot of politicians and state attorney generals are asking, why is the industry not paying its fair share, having helped cause this crisis? So I think that wave of climate litigation is something to really keep an eye on, and something that California could take part in by bringing its own suit against the industry as well. So there are all sorts of angles, whether you're a creative arts person or a lawyer or a policymaker, this movement, I think, has space for everybody. And we really need your talents to go after this industry that for too long has held back the type of change and progress that we need to see.
Well, it does seem like public opinion has changed fairly dramatically on this compared to where it was, say, 10 years ago. A recent Pew poll showed 3/4 of Americans would like to see climate action being taken. This was noted at the Republican presidential debate, the primary debate that they just had, that young people in particular, even young conservatives, are very concerned about climate change and would like to see action happen. So I'm wondering if you think we're trending in the right direction, and is there going to be an impact from this sort of change in public opinion that we're seeing? How do you predict this is going to play out?
I think we absolutely are. You know, again, I said earlier, I've been in this work for almost 2 decades now, and started as a youth activist, and I was very hopeful we'd address it in a year or two. And here I am later in life. But I think we're at a really interesting moment right now. As you said, I think the public at large has really woken up to this crisis. More people care about this than you think. I always tell people the real problem isn't convincing people there's a crisis. It's convincing people that we can do something about it. And we can model that by finding effective ways as citizens, as activists, as individuals, to really make an impact. And so I take a lot of hope from the incredible response out there, especially from young people. You look at something like the Willow Project in Alaska, you know, that became the number one trending topic across social media, you know, hundreds of millions of people engaging, millions of petition signatures, millions of young people getting engaged. You know, if you know a young person, go ask them about it. They probably saw something on TikTok or elsewhere. So we have this unique opportunity to harness that public attention and turn it into the type of political pressure that we need to take this crisis on. But that takes real organizing. And so getting involved in local groups, finding different groups to support is really key right now. I don't know. Look, we're in a race against the clock. You know, the next couple of years are really going to be decisive on this problem. We're at a point where we're seeing the impacts of climate change with our own eyes. We have the technology we need to really solve this crisis. We really lack the political will. And so that is the task of the next couple of years, is to figure out how to trigger that change so that we can make this happen. I think a big part of that is being clear about who's standing in the way of progress and pointing a finger at the big oil companies who are trying to hold us back. If we can muster through creativity and political leadership and all the tools we have, the type of pressure we need, I think we have a fighting chance to really not avoid all the impacts. We're already seeing those, but to really avoid catastrophe down the line.
Well, speaking of organizing and political pressure, I know your group and several others are going to take part in the End Fossil Fuels March in New York City on September 17th. That's going to coincide with the annual UN General Assembly and the UN's Climate Ambition Summit and Climate Week events that are going to be held out there. And I was wondering if you could just describe a bit about what you're anticipating and what you hope that this march will accomplish.
That's right. Well, it's part of a wave of action that's taking place around the world. So there's going to be actions from Lagos, Nigeria, to Frankfurt, to there in New York City. And the goal is to really begin to rekindle, I think, a lot of the energy in the streets that we saw back in 2019 around the global climate strikes that Greta Thunberg and others were helping lead. We haven't seen that type of street energy on climate for a while. There's been sporadic bursts, especially maybe more so in the Bay Area than elsewhere. But because of COVID and other factors, we just haven't seen that level of organizing. So the hope is to really get people back out there again, and have a really clear focus on the need to take on fossil fuels, and to send a message as well to our president, to President Biden. You know, look, the Biden administration has done a lot on climate. They deserve real credit for sparking huge investments in clean energy, but they haven't yet shown the leadership we need when it comes to addressing fossil fuel production. They're still allowing massive leases on public lands. They've approved projects like the Willow Project. There's big decisions coming up about these huge liquefied natural gas export facilities that would just emit tons of carbon, that really need to be stopped. And so sending a message to this president that we appreciate the leadership he's shown, but that we really need to see more is a big part of that. So people can find out more information just by Googling March 10 Fossil Fuels and People versus Fossil Fuels, which is this huge coalition. There's a lot of groups in California that are a part of it. But this is a really exciting time and a critical time to get involved in the climate movement. So if folks are listening and thinking about ways that they can participate, there's great groups in California and around the country who are eager for folks to volunteer and really put your talents to good use.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I just want to ask you one more question. We do have this presidential election coming up next year. What do you hope happens in terms of how climate change plays out in the campaign, in the discussion, and in the debates?
Well, I think that, as you mentioned, we already saw climate pop up in the Republican debate, which wasn't something on my bingo card, but it proved to be exciting. So I think this could really be a climate election. I mean, I think that President Biden and Democrats would be smart to make this a major campaign issue. And if you look, you can already sort of see that in the last week or two. They just made a big announcement last week about ending a number of Trump era drilling leases in the Arctic. That was clearly a result of the pressure that they felt around Willow and the need to reach back up to young people after that disappointment. So I think, as I've said, the public is on board with this. People know that big oil companies are not only gouging them at the gas pump, but are driving this climate crisis. I think politicians would be wise to harness that energy and get people fired up. It is not too late to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. Our summers are only going to get hotter if we don't take action now. And so I think politicians will see the benefit if they go out there and say that they're really willing to finally stand up to big oil and get the type of change we need. And for all the rest of us, it's important to keep telling our politicians that that's the expectation of leadership. We want people that don't only say the right words about solar panels and wind turbines, but are really willing to point the finger at the industry that's causing this problem. So I am cautiously optimistic. I don't know if we'll be able to act in time, but it is really inspiring to see the level of activism and energy out there, and just encourage people to get involved.
And any more billboards you're planning?
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, there was such a hit the first time that we can't say no. So if you want a billboard in your city, feel free to get in touch with us at Fossil Free Media. We're hoping to roll out many more as we come.
All right. Well, Jamie Henn, founder and director of Fossil Free Media, thank you so much for joining us on Your Calls One Planet series.
Thanks for having me.
And you can listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast by visiting yourcallradio.org. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can give us a review. And you can follow us on Twitter at Your Call Radio and email any show ideas and feedback to yourcall@kalw.org. Malihe Razazan produced today's show. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and it's Your Call.